Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. John Saxbury here, your host of Revival Now. I want to talk to you today about consequences. We have a problem. We have an epidemic in this nation and in our world, actually. There's lack of consequences for people's actions. I mean, you do something wrong, it's when you're basically living life, doing things that are against the word of God, you're basically mocking God. When you're doing things that are not becoming of Christ, you're doing something that breaking the law, you're mocking God. You're doing things that are off the charts, that are not good. There's consequences. There's a price to pay for your actions. I mean, today we live in a society where people are not held accountable for their actions. I mean, especially with children. I want to start off right here now, go into the Word of God with me. Get your Bibles out and open your Bibles with me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, he'll also reap. For the one who sows with his own flesh, from the flesh, will reap corruption. But the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit shall reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then we have an opportunity. Let's do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Basically, it's God saying this: it's not worth paying the penalty over something. What you're going to reap, what you reap into somebody's life, you're going to sow. You walk around, I mean, especially the way parents are nowadays. I'm going to say this right now. Your kids are not your best friends. Quit making them your friends. Quit making them your best buddies. One thing is these parents that don't take accountability for what their kids are doing. They're doing drugs. They're out doing dope. They're out getting drunk. They're out drinking in the house. They're acting like a hellion. Oh, there's certain age they can do that. No, they cannot. That's your home. I don't care if they're 50 years old. If they're in your home, you have the say. That's your say. That's your dominion. It's not theirs. I mean, friending your kids is not healthy. I mean, it says spare the rod, spoil the child. They're basically spoiling the child. They're doing opposite of what the Word of God says. You've got to get that. People have got to crack down on what their kids are doing. This is not Sesame Street here. You gotta sit there and you gotta get to bring out the rod of discipline. The rod of discipline is not just with your hands; it's with your mouth. It's with your authority. Stand your authority. Parents don't know how to stand their authority. For one, I mean their kids are acting like they can do whatever they want, and then if somebody tells and corrects them, oh no, don't tell my kid to do that. You cannot make my kid behave. You cannot tell my kid to behave. You cannot make them be quiet. I remember working in this event at church years ago, and these kids would be talking during service, and I would get onto them, and then their parents would come at me about it. And I'm thinking, no. If the pastor's talking and the pastor's preaching in church, your kid is to shut the hell up. That's right, the preacher said it. I know you're not supposed to talk like that in church, but we're not in church, we're in my house. We're in my studio. They're to shut up. Keep their mouth quiet. That preacher's talking, you be quiet. You don't let your kids run rampant. Kids growing up, kids doing dope. I'm going to tell you something about these kids doing dope. I'm going to say this, and I hope my boys are seeing this. I hope my boys see this broadcast. I catch any of my kids. I don't care if it's my daughter or my two boys. If I catch any of my kids doing dope, I'm going to march their sorry little butts down to the cop shop and have them locked up. One, because I'll know where they're at all times. Two, I know they won't have the access to the drugs. And three, I know they'll be getting clean. These parents will not take a stand for nothing for their kids. They let their kids run adults into the ground. They let their kids run the elderly. their elders into the ground. They have no respect. They get to snap off any old way they feel like it. They're not your best friends. They're not your buddies. Yes, many of my kids have a good relationship. That's because they know how to respect me. They know I don't take none of the crap that these parents take. I mean, seriously. I mean, these stupid jackasses that sit there and say that you can't spank your kids. Who are they? And they don't even have kids themselves. Who are they to tell us how to raise our kids when they don't even have kids ourselves? They're hypocrites. They're the blind leading the blind. A lot of parents are like that too, though. In defense of these people, a lot of the parents are like that. They're the blind leading the blind. They're not parenting. They're friending. It's not your job to be your kid's friend. Your kid's acting up and acting like a hellion in your home and trying to run your home and trying to take over everything and trying to run things like it's theirs. That's when you grab their sorry little butts, pack their bags, and send that little jackass on its way. I didn't start her. Even though I probably do all the time, but I didn't stutter this time. It's time parents take a stand. I mean, people, we live in a society where we don't have to own up to our consequences. It's whatever we feel like. It's whatever we identify. It's some stupid identity that some moron in some university brainwashed every one of our kids to think that it's all about their identity. It's about respect. It's about paying consequences, having consequences to your actions. It's called being accountable for your life. I mean, nobody's accountable anymore. Nobody. We live in an unaccountable world. I've written a book before, and it's gotten deleted, but I'm going to rewrite it again. It's going to be called Being Accountable in an Unaccountable World. We've got to take accountability for what we're doing. Yeah, you don't discipline your kids, and then you wonder why they're out screaming, sitting out there naked, protesting Donald Trump, screaming he's not my president, and screaming into the camera, and flipping off the camera, and screaming in the face of the camera, begging for attention. It's your fault, because you didn't discipline them. You lacked in discipline. You didn't crack the rod. You didn't stand your ground and your authority. So it's your fault your kid's growing up to be a hellion. Not anybody else's. I mean, it's not your job to be your kids' best friend. They're doing wrong. You correct it. I mean, we have people out there that think that they can identify as whatever they want. They can live however they want. Well, it's all about love. No, it's not love. They don't even know what love is. It's all about lust. It's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And when you fulfill the lust of the flesh and you sow into the lust of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap something that's not good. I mean, hello, the Bible does say the wages of sin is death. When you screw up, there's a penalty to pay. When your kids screw up, there's a penalty for them to pay. I mean, people are allowing their kids never to have any consequences. How do you expect them to grow up and live like a responsible adult? My mom and dad didn't take no crap off of me. Even though I was probably the most rebellious at times, they still stood their ground, and their authority still stands to this day. This is my house. You'll do as I say. You'll live according to how I say. You're not coming in here drinking. You're not coming in here doing this. You're not coming in here doing that. You will do what I say. That's the way I was raised. My dad is, that's the way it was, and that's it. This is my house, that's it. I mean, the same way with God. This is his rule. This is his word. That's it. You don't have the right to live outside of that. If you're truly a born-again Christian, you don't have that right. To just say, well, I can just do whatever I want and there'd be no consequences. Oh, yeah? Oh, really? I mean, and there's pastors that act this way. It's crazy. There's preachers that act this way. They act like they can just treat anybody. They could act any way they want, and it's perfectly okay because I'm a pastor. I have a place. I have a place here. I have a title. I have a dominion. I could. No, you can't. The Bible even talks about how pastors are to treat their congregation. Bible talks about how they're to treat their members. About there's strict rules on how, on God's got strict mandate on how the pastors and the preachers are supposed to treat the body of Christ. So you're not exempt from the rules. People think, religious people are good at thinking they're exempt from the rules. They think that they don't have to pay the consequences for anything. They think that they're entitled. They think that it's owed to them. They're not. It's nothing's owed to you. You're not entitled to nothing. I mean, we live in such an entitled generation that makes me sick. Makes me want to puke. I mean, seriously. It's your job to raise your kid. It's your job to, as parents, to make sure your kids live accordingly. Well, they're grown. No, uh-uh. It's your home. That's not their home. They want to walk around acting like it's their home, then okay, guess what? They get to make the house payments and all the bills, and pay all the bills, pay all the insurance, then it gets to be their home. But until then, guess what? It's not their home. It's not their place. It's your home. It's your place, and it's your authority. They need to either submit or get the hell out, like I said. Pack your bags, live under a bridge, I don't care. You're not living like that in my home. My kids ain't going to come in my house drinking. My kids ain't going to come around in this house acting all like a bunch of wild jackasses. My kids won't do that. I won't put up with it. I mean, we've got to get back to the fundamentals here and get back to the principles and do things the way things were supposed to be done in the first place. I mean, we've got these liberals, these idiot moron liberals out there. They're teaching the kids that there's no such thing as consequences anymore. That they're free to do what they want. It's their freedom. It's their rights. It's their rights. You don't know what your rights are. Have you even read the Constitution? Have you even read it, for one? That's a big plus for you. That's a light bulb thing for you. Read the Constitution and see what it really says instead of making one up. Read the Bible. Here's another brilliant idea. Read the Bible and see what it really says instead of trying to make your own version of your Christianity. I mean, there's a lot of Christians that need to flat out get saved. They need to flat out get saved. Stop coming. Just because you come to church and attend church and do all their functions doesn't make you born again. You can take a pig to a car wash, wash it up, put a nice tux on it. It'll still roll around because it's still a pig. Come on, somebody. I know somebody's listening to me. James chapter 2. I mean, seriously, we've got to get back into this place. James chapter 2, verse 10. For whoever keeps the law but fails in one point has become accountable for it all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and act as those who are being judged under the law of liberty. For the judgment is without mercy to who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Faith without works is dead. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not working in your faith to try to exercise and try to maintain the law of God, and you're not, and you think that you think that you're just above the rules, you're not above the rules. We're not above the rules, folks. We can't make our own rules up. We live by God's rules. Just because you tear down a tablet of the Ten Commandments at the courthouse doesn't mean you still don't have to abide by them, which you do. Doesn't mean they don't exist. God's word, the Bible says, heaven and hell shall pass away, but my word shall not. My word shall not pass away. This word is an eternal living organism. It is an eternal living organism that's put in us by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you get these idiots down there putting up a statue of Satan in front of a courthouse. Really? You put a statue of a guy who's defeated, an angel who was lower than a human being. If you let this lightning bolt come off in your head for once, you're worshiping something that's lower than human life. For one, angels are below us. They're not above, they're not authority over us, and they're not, they're, the Bible talks about we are over them. We have dominion over them. And for one, he fell below that, so it makes him even lower of a person. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus kicked the ever-living crap out of him on Calvary. So you're worshiping somebody who's defeated. How big of a moron can you be? You're stupid. You're flat out stupid. If you think that you can just do whatever you want, and there's no consequences to it. That you worship and you put it in front of a courthouse, something that's been defeated. You're basically worshiping defeat. Real intelligent. I mean, seriously. What kind of stupid truck did you fall off of? I'd like to ask these people, what kind of stupid truck did they fall off of? I mean, seriously, we've got to get back to the basics. We've got to face consequences for our actions. We've got a whole generation that's just so screwed up right now. And the problem is there's parents that won't face the consequences. They won't accept the consequences for their actions. They won't make their kids pay the consequences. You spoil them. Spoil the kids, spoil people rotten, and you wonder why they grow astray from the Lord. I mean, it doesn't take much rocket science to figure this one out. I mean, we've got a whole generation that's just out there. Do they belong into the body of Christ? Yes, they do. Should they get born again and saved? By all means, yes. There's a hell to gain. There's a hell to gain for your consequences, for your actions. Teaching people that they don't have consequences for their actions is pretty stupid in my book. I mean, when you expect a good thing, they're out there flipping over cop cars, burning things up, protesting, defying against authority. A cop says pull over, and you keep driving anyway. Your cop tells you to get out of the car, you start cussing them out and start making threats at them, and then you start beating the cop up, and then you wonder why you get shot. Hello. How, like Pastor Rodney would say, how stupid can you get and still breathe? Pastor Rick Shelton, wakey wakey. I mean, take the Bibles out of school, you wonder why the kids are all acting like a bunch of jackasses. You took their moral compass away. This is our moral compass. This is about a book about right and about doing right, encouraging you how to do right, and you take it away from them and you wonder why they're not doing right. Take prayer out of school, the very soil which they need to be buried in to protect them, and you wonder why they're getting shot up in classrooms. We've got a problem in this nation. Nobody knows how to face consequences for anything. Just because you hold up some stupid poster board saying he's not my president doesn't mean he's not your president. He's your president, whether you like it or not. I mean, the funny part about it is these people are out there protesting and wasting their energy over somebody who could care less what they're doing. He could care less what you have to say or think. It means absolutely nothing to him. And it means nothing to God either. It means nothing to really anybody. It's just attention. It's an attention game that they've been taught by a stupid system that teaches the kids to sow if they sow corruption, that they're going to reap peace. That if they sow evil, they're going to reap good. That they sow dishonesty, they're going to reap trust. That's not how it works. One, trust is earned. Two, respect is earned. You don't demand respect. You don't demand anything. We've got a bunch of demanding, spoiled, rotten kids. It's demanding. Got to demand it. It's mine. I'm entitled to it. And they get down there and they get angry about it if you don't give it to them. Well, guess what you're getting? You're getting absolutely nothing in return when it boils down to it. At the end of your life, you're not going to get anything out of it. You're going to reap a devil's hell. You're going to reap something that is not good. And there are consequences. There are consequences for your actions. You have to pay a penalty. Your kids need to pay a penalty for doing wrong. Stop babying them. Stop letting them push everybody's buttons, attacking everybody at free will. They aren't entitled to crap. I wanted to say it on this broadcast, but I can't. I don't want to say it. It almost slipped. I almost cussed because it makes me that angry. It's an anger inside. It's not bad anger, but it's a righteous anger. Seeing how God feels about it. You're not owed a thing. You're not owed one flippity thing. Not one thing. You're not owed nothing. You have to work for everything. You want something in life, you earn it. You don't just demand it and it's yours. I mean, we've got a generation full of attention seekers. Flat out attention seekers. People are begging for attention. A bunch of attention beggars. That's something I don't get. Why do you need that much attention? I don't get it. It makes no sense to me because it's quite stupid. These young girls are out there rocking around like they're Kim Kardashian. They got to be the center of attention, and they got to be all popular, and they got to have this popularity going on about them, and they got to have all these people around them, surrounding them, and they have to have and it's not just girls, it's just boys too. People think that they got to be in these social circles, and they got to be a part of, be socially correct, and be out there and be the life of the party, and be at every party, and be the center of attention, and it's like, you don't need that. You don't want that attention as much as you think you need it. Trust me, one person, take this one person who knows from it, from experience. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. You don't want that attention as much as you think you do. And at the end of your life, you're going to realize that 95% of the things you thought was important aren't important at all. I'm 44 years old, and in 99.9% of the stuff I thought was important in my life isn't important in my life. Tell you the truth. I mean, people got to come to that point where they just got to realize what's important, what's not important. They need to prioritize. There's consequences when you don't prioritize. there's consequences you reap. People reap when they go out, going out. And I'm just talking about, I'm talking to the adults too. They think it's okay to go behind their spouse's backs and do something that they know that they disapprove of, but they'll do it, just go and do it anyway because they feel like that they have the upper hand. They feel like that they need to be they don't have to honor that spouse, so they'll go around and do something behind that person's back. Unsubmissiveness is bad in the church. God created the husband to be the covering over the wife. It's God, the husband, God, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the husband, then the kids, and then the remaining family. There's wives out there that are putting themselves above their husbands and trying to take over and if their husband says no, they do it anyway. And they think that there's no consequence or penalty to it because that's what the way they were raised. They was raised on no penalty. There was no penalty. So there's no penalty for my actions. There's no penalty for what I'm doing. I can do whatever I want. I could act however I want, and I could treat my husband or my wife any way I want. I could actually just basically I'm exempt from the rules. You're not exempt from the rules. There's no respect for marriage anymore. I mean, marriage is between a husband and wife only. I mean, we've got to come to the point where we have to start admitting when things are wrong, when things aren't right. When things are not kosher, things need to be corrected. Get that thing corrected. Stop letting it control your life. It's sin. It's that sinful nature. Sin controls your life. Stop letting sin control your lives. Stop letting the lust of the flesh control your life. Well, I can do this because I just feel like I want it. And there's wives that are putting their families above their husbands. Husbands putting their family above their wives. Wives putting their kids above their husbands. Wives putting their jobs above their husbands. Or husbands putting their kids above their wives. And vice versa. And the list goes on and on. There's a penalty to all this. There's a strict penalty. You think that there's not there. You don't think there's a penalty. You've got another thing coming. We've got to understand that there's consequences. That consequence is the authority of God, saying, "Look, don't go any further." It's a road sign. It's a warning sign. It's a check engine light. Have a check engine light. Ask the Holy Spirit to put a check engine light in you. When you think you're going to, it's what you got to pray for. A check engine light, like in your car. Something's not right, don't keep going. This thing you need to stop and see what's going on with this thing. My car, if a check engine light comes up, that car's parked until I figure out what's wrong with it and I correct the problem. That's the thing we're lacking in the church. Nobody wants to correct the problem. Everybody wants to keep feeding the problem and keep feeding the flesh. I mean, when it comes to marriage, marriage is two people becoming one. They're not about themselves anymore. It's not about yourself anymore. It's about the other person, how the other person feels, what's going to hurt the other person, what's going to do with about the other person. It's not about just feed my flesh, feed my wants and desires, and then that's it. I mean, we've got to get back to what marriage really is. Marriage isn't about the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law running the show, which is normally which is normally a lot of times it's on the wife's side because it's just the sinful nature that's in the earth is for the woman to not submit to the husband because that's what originally happened in the garden. So her, it's going to be naturally her that it brings her mother in who's wanting to rebel against against the husband no matter what. We've got to get back to the place where a wife's respecting her husband, disregarding her mother, her family, and cleaving to them. And being one to each other. Cleaving means being in unity with each other. Being combined. They're to cleave to each other. They're to be combined to each other. They're to be in so far into each other that you don't recognize who's the husband or the wife. You see one thing. You see one flesh. You see one thing that's gathered together and is united with Christ. A marriage represents the church. Christ and his church. Christ married to his church. Together you're married to Christ. You're not married. You don't have. There's nobody else. There's no third person in a marriage on earth. No third fleshly person. Just two people. Just two people alone. I mean, and there's consequences when that doesn't happen. There's consequences to pay. People don't understand. They don't want to accept consequences. Why? Because they've been brainwashed that it's okay to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Jealousy, envious, strife, bitterness, resentment, revelings, and all these other things. I mean, talks about what the lust of the flesh are. There's a penalty to pay for all this. You want to screw around? You want to go hoe around with women? Want to go hoe around with a bunch of guys? And think there's no penalty to it? And they cry and want to go? They get pregnant. When they get pregnant, oh, now we can go get an abortion after we've been hoeing around. Or these guys on the opposite side, they're out bird dogging with every girl out on the planet, out there fishing for women. One gets pregnant and they're wanting to push the girl off to an abortion clinic and not so she can wipe it off and it not be existent anymore, and then they just breaks it off and then he's clean. That doesn't work that way. There's a penalty to pay for your actions. There's a penalty to pay. There's a consequence to pay. And I'm going to say this right now. The house of God is not a place to fish for women and men. If you're that desperate for love, then you got something wrong. You're desperate. It's not for love. It's to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You got problems with your flesh. You need to get it under submission. You need to get it under control. You need to get saved. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God. Wipe my mouth off. I'm drooling on myself. I mean, we've got to follow what God says. We've got to do things the way God sees it. Wanna know why we're not? There's not a revival in America because people aren't repenting. People aren't repenting in the church. There's consequences for people who act up in the church. For preachers that think that it's about a social crowd. They love the crowds but hate the people. Walk in through the back door, come out, preach to the people. Don't minister to the people, then take off and leave. Push a little 45-minute service, and then out the back door and you're gone. That's really going to help people. That's not helping nobody. Pastors need to get back to doing altar calls. Pastors need to go back to laying on of hands and letting people fall out under the power of God. And let the Holy Spirit minister to people. It's not about your rules, bud. God could care less what you don't like. He doesn't. It's flat. It's plain and simple. You've got to come back to number one. You got to understand that there's consequences for withholding the things of God to people. There's consequences for pastors who deny the people the move of the Holy Spirit. God could care less what you don't believe in or what you disapprove of. You're robbing the people. Jesus said you're robbing the children. They robbed the children of their bread. We've got to come back. Come back to that place. Why do I say it? We've got to come back to that place because there's a place with God. They have a place with God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit that yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift up drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that it is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone, for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and it may become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy, like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, found no chance to repent. Though he sought it with tears. It's going to leave you in tears. That's all you're going to reap out of it. Dead, empty tears. Is it worth it? No. Get control of your kids. Pastors and preachers, treat your congregants right. Treat people right. Treat people with love and dignity. Stop acting like stop acting like there's no rules. Then stop acting like you're above the rules. There are a set of rules right here. And to the people out living in sin and living in, come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. It's time to say this prayer with me. I want everybody to bow their heads and say this prayer with me. Dear Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus to be forgiven of my sins. Father God, I know there's a consequence now. I accept the consequences for my actions. The consequences says that the wages of sin is death. I thank you, Father God. Please, Father God, forgive me of what I've done. I'm sorry. I come to you on my knees, crying out to you, Father God. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash me in your, Jesus, I ask you to wash me in your blood. I ask that you take away all the things that I've done wrong. I turn from all my wicked ways and all the ways that I've done wrong to people. I repent to you, Father God. I turn away from all those things, the things of the world. I turn my back on the world. Take out the stony heart, put in a heart of flesh. Let me be baptized in your Holy Spirit so that I never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a great day. This is a production of Revival Now International Media Ministries. For more information on our ministries, go to revivalistjfs3@gmail.com for any prayer request, or text me at 636-368-6490. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.